Hello and welcome to Stonehouse Bible Studies. It's good to remember today the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And it's wonderful to open God's Word and to know the wonderful truth of our risen Lord Jesus. He is not here, for he is risen, the scripture says. Hallelujah. Well, let's have our Bibles and turn to the Psalms and chapter 16, so that is Psalm 16. The Bible says, Michtam of David, or instruction of David, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can come and remember the wonderful resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wonderful atonement which was wrought for us on the cross at Calvary, and the justification that we have now that salvation is complete. The price has been paid, and we have that wonderful free and perfect redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray now, Lord, that you would bless these few thoughts to our hearts as we study the scriptures and see the importance of the resurrection to the glorification of the Lord of all glory, the Lord God in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, our God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, in his name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 16 is a psalm of David. And it's, again, a very prophetical psalm, which we will come back to shortly. But first of all, we want to read an account in the book of Acts. So in your Bible, would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I just want to mention, what is the reason for the resurrection? Why did the Lord Jesus rise from the dead? Ultimately, from our point of view, I suppose that we would say it is for our justification. As we mentioned in the prayer, our salvation is complete. The price had been paid for and accepted by the Heavenly Father. So the Son could rise again and be glorified by the right hand of the Heavenly Father. We are justified, and it's such a wonderful thing, made judicially righteous. That means, and it is a wonderful, blessed thing to have that truth and hold on to that truth in our hearts as we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. But also, the reason for the resurrection is as a sign for the Jewish people to accept the scriptures to whom they have been given. We as Gentile believers are so privileged to be grafted in, as it were, in Romans, and know the God of Jacob as our refuge. But it's so interesting to see how all these things pertain to the Jewish people, and how that they are a sign to them, and that they too ought to believe their own word, that is the word of God, their own scriptures, and come into that salvation in Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ also. In Acts chapter 2, we begin reading in verse 14. This is when Peter stands up after those Jewish people there who were all gathered mock at the people who were speaking in tongues. They were mocking at them. And Peter stands up and explains what it is all about. Now, we are not going to talk about speaking in tongues as such, except to say that speaking in tongues was a sign to Israel. And in fact, Israel, the Jewish people, are the key to understanding, not just a key, but the key to understanding what is meant by speaking in tongues. It was a sign for the Jewish people at this time, at the end of the apostolic age. And that's all it was. It's not for us today. But anyway, it's to show them the truth written in their own scriptures in the Old Testament, that the Lord Jesus Christ was who he said he was, and that he is the Messiah of Israel. But leaving that aside and going on in verse 14, we see now these wonderful signs, other signs to the Jewish people to show who the Lord was, that he rose from the dead and he is the Redeemer of Israel and indeed of the whole world. But let's begin reading in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. In boldness and in the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up and said to, it says there, the men of Judea, and ye that dwell at Jerusalem, in other words, the Jewish people. He stood up, and with the Holy Ghost boldness, he proclaimed the truth unto them and preached this following sermon to them. And he didn't just suddenly go into a very typical church-like sermon. He went back to the scriptures, first of all, and explained the truth of what the prophecies in scripture were talking about the Messiah, before he even mentions the Lord Jesus Christ by name and the momentous events that had taken place in Jerusalem, the crucifixion and indeed the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the resurrection which we are focusing on this Easter Sunday. It says there, for these are not drunken, in verse 15, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That is, these people who are speaking in tongues. But this is that, this scene before you is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, and this is the direct quotation from Joel chapter 2, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here we see Peter quoting the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, which the Jewish people should have been familiar with. He was explaining to them something which ought to have been familiar to them, and in fact it probably was familiar to many of the Jewish people who were there gathered. This was their own scriptures. And they claim to believe the word of God. And it says there that it'll come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And of course, people will prophesy, the daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions and old men dream dreams. And I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And this is a direct explanation of what was going on there in that day when Peter stood up before the Jewish people and explained to them how the Holy Spirit was being poured out upon the people there, indeed the Jewish people there, that they might know the Lord Jesus. and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. So we are talking about signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are indeed what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and indeed followed by some of his disciples and apostles later. But I will show you in verse 19, wonders in heaven and signs in the earth. And that's exactly what the ministry of our Lord and Saviour was while he was upon earth. You see, he's getting to the point where he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's still quoting here from the Old Testament, from the prophet Joel. It's interesting also, it says, blood and fire and vapour of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness, in verse 20. And of course, in one manner of speaking, that was fulfilled at the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there he is explaining that to the Jewish people, that they should have seen this coming in their own scriptures. And it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. To the greater extent, this verse shall be fulfilled in a time yet to come, in the dispensation yet to come, during the tribulation, before the great day of the Lord shall come. But verse 21 is wonderful. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, we are talking here about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ being a sign that he was the Messiah for the Jewish people, that he fulfilled the scriptures, the word of God, which they had been given in the Old Testament. But it's also such a blessing to us as believers, as Gentile believers, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone can be saved, Jew or Gentile, anyone at all. And it's such a wonderful thing that we can be believers, and we know the God of Jacob as a refuge, as I mentioned earlier on. But now in verse 22, we begin to see how Jesus indeed proved that he was Lord and Messiah. In verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Again, he's speaking to the Jewish people. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, his brethren, the Jewish people, and he did it in the midst of them, in Judea and Galilee and all these places where the Jewish people were. Yes, occasionally Gentile believers came and were very much blessed by him. It says in verse 22 that he was a man approved of God. What does it mean, approved of God? But it means that he had the stamp of the Messiah on him by God the Father, because he fulfilled all the things which were written in the Old Testament, all the wonderful prophetical truths, such as that prophecy, as we just read, which was quoted from Joel chapter 2. By all, he was approved among you by God, by all the miracles and wonders and signs which he did, by the power of God, the Heavenly Father, right in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Peter says that they knew that he was sent by God, the Messiah, to do these things. But then he goes on to say in verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So we see that Peter starts off by quoting the Old Testament, the scriptures which they should have known, and then talks about how they crucified the Lord of all glory. But I like this in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Do you know, it's such a wonderful truth. It's such a wonderful truth that the greatest miracle as such was not that Christ rose from the dead. The greatest miracle was that Christ died, because death had nothing whatsoever to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he tasted death for every man, but he was of no familiarity with death. He was life himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord said. Death had nothing to do with him. Yet, he himself gave up the ghost and died for us, all of us, at Calvary. But now it said that death was not able to keep its icy grip upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not possible that he should be holden of death, verse 24 says, and therefore God raised him up, and we are justified by his wonderful resurrection. And also, this being one sign to the Jewish people that indeed the Lord Jesus was their Messiah who they must believe on, there is also another. From verse 25 on, we see Peter quoting again from the Old Testament, yet now from 1,000 years previously, from the psalm which we read to begin this message. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. This again is a wonderful quotation from Psalm 16, the psalm which we read earlier. And if we turn back to Psalm 16, keep your finger in Acts, because we'll go back to Acts to conclude our message later. But turn back to Psalm 16, and let's look at these wonderful truths here. Earlier on in verse 16, it says there, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Here we see David's prayer for preservation. And he's praying to the God of his soul. O my soul, thou hast not said unto the Lord, Jehovah, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. And he goes on to say, I won't even take up the names of their gods, the heathen's gods, into my lips, because, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Do you know, we as believers, we should always count our blessings. We have a wonderful inheritance. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. What else would we want? Thou maintainest my lot. What is our lot? Our lot in life, if we are born again believers and know the Lord as our Saviour, then we can say with David in verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, whatever's going on around us, heartache, difficulty, sadness, yet even so, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage and a wonderful inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that inheritance this day, this Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday? Do you have that certain assurity that you are the Lord's and he is thine? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins or my thoughts instruct me in the night seasons. Also, but here we go now to the quotation given by Peter in the sermon in Acts. It says, I have set the Lord always before my face. Here we see the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord. It's an amazing picture of our Lord in four verses. Verse 8, the life, I have set the Lord Jehovah always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. David is speaking this prophetically 1,000 years before the Lord walked upon the green acres of earth. And yet he is speaking what the Lord Jesus himself was saying to the Father, that the Lord Jesus, that's his life's work, and he always set the Heavenly Father before him and knew that he was at his right hand and he could not be moved. And now we see his death. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. His flesh finally was rested in hope as he laid in the grave in his death. But now his resurrection. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. There is his resurrection. Of course, the Heavenly Father could not leave his soul in the grave or in hell, and that he would not see corruption. His body would indeed not see corruption because he was the Holy One of Israel, God himself, even incarnate. So this is his resurrection. Finally, his ascension. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. At the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, where there are pleasures forevermore. What a wonderful insight into the coming glory of the Lord, which we shall be endowed with and blessed with on that day when he shall take us to be with him forever. But going back now to Acts chapter 2, Peter just quotes this psalm. These last four verses of this psalm to the Jewish people there, explaining that Christ, the Messiah, he was king and he had to rise from the dead. And in verse 31 we read, he seeing this before, that is David seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And don't forget, now we are speaking of what the importance of the resurrection of the Lord was to the Jewish people as a sign to them that he was indeed their Messiah. And in verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. This is true. This is truth. This is the absolute truth which we are speaking before thee this morning. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. The words in the Greek, shed forth, there is a similar word meaning to that which was earlier spoken about the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the people there at Pentecost in that place where they were all gathered. So that which ye see shed forth, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost shed forth, this is what the prophecy is now speaking about, that which we have read earlier, which ye now see and hear. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into heavens. Even though David wrote this psalm 1,000 years ago, he is not ascended into the heavens yet. He is still waiting in the grave, as it were, indeed, in that one sense. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now, this is a quotation from Psalm 110, and it's showing that David had a Lord, which was to be his own son, as it were, of his own line, an heir of David, which was to be the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. It says there, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ, both Adonai and Messiah. So what must Israel now do? What must the Jewish people now do, now that Peter has explained to them that the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah, that man whom they crucified, that one who they knew, that he did all these wonderful miracles and signs in the midst of them while he was yet on earth, while he was yet alive, in front of their eyes? What must they now do? But here in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? It says there in verse 37, when they heard this, that is, they heard the exposition of the Old Testament prophecies and that it was the Lord Jesus at whom they had rejected. They were pricked in their heart. They were guilty. They had that conscience of theirs seared with a hot iron. What shall we now do then, seeing that he was the Messiah and he was crucified and we rejected him? What must we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is saying, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, at the end of verse 38 there. For the promise is unto you and to your children. This promise of salvation is to the Jewish people and their children. But look at this. But it's not all about the Jewish people. It's about us too, and to all that are afar off. Yes, indeed it was to the dispersion of the Jewish people out amongst the nations. But also that encompasses us today as Gentile believers. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And indeed, if we go back to verse 21, this is a wonderful truth and an ultimate point here of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the sign it was to the Jewish people. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall be saved. Each and every one of us who have believed in him are saved, and we are kept by the power of God in his hand. We have that wonderful hope of salvation, that blessed hope of salvation, and the coming again of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take us to be with him forever, the moment that we repented of our sins and believed on him. And verse 40, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, many other words of scriptures, no doubt that means, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. From when it means untoward generation, that means those unbelieving Jewish people, those who didn't accept the scriptures through hardness of heart, didn't believe what the Lord had to say to them. When it says save yourselves, of course we cannot save ourselves, but it just means you need to be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 41, here is a beautiful conclusion. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So here we see a wonderful increase in the beginning times of the church, and how much power there is indeed in the preaching of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have we believed his word? Have we believed and received the word of God and know the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in our own lives, even we who are believers, do we know that power? Do we exercise that power? We have boldness and confidence and access, the book of Ephesians says, and that's a wonderful thing to know as a child of God. It's a wonderful salvation we have, and it's a wonderful salvation in the knowledge of his glorious resurrection. Verse 24 again says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Friends, let us love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us give him thanks for his sacrifice at Calvary and his wonderful resurrection in power. And on this day, let us say, he is not here, for he is risen. Hallelujah. This has been Geraint Howells with Stonehouse Bible Studies. The Lord bless you.